This afternoon, we're going to be in the book of Acts. We've been studying in the church covenant and why we believe what we believe. And I kind of intended on sticking with baptism for another couple of weeks. There's a lot in that, scriptural baptism, but I kind of got pushed this way this week. So we're gonna jump to the bottom side of the first paragraph. Church covenant says the last little part, that we most solemnly and joyfully enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. And tonight I want to look at that one body in Christ. We're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter number 4. We're going to begin in verse 31. The book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed with his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither were there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made every man according to his need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this afternoon. God, we thank you for all the blessings of life you bestowed upon us, the good rain you sent our way. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that in a dark world, Lord, in troubled times, that we'd always maintain our focus on you. God, that we could count our blessings, not our problems. God, that we could strive to live a life and be pleasing unto you, that we could seek your will in all things. Lord, help us that as a church, God, as a church family, that we could be not only of one body, God, but of one mind, of one accord. God, help us that we would never do or say anything against a brother or sister. God, to bring shame upon your name. Lord, forgive us for we fail you. Thank you most of all for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. This was right after Peter had preached to this multitude. Over in verse number 8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. He's talking to the people here of the elders of Israel. And when he got right down to it, they prayed, finished up, and the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Says they that believe, them that believe, so those that were saved, those that were believers, that they spake the word of God with boldness, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that they all were of one heart and of one soul. Statistically speaking, there are a lot of churches in this country, bunches of them. Statistically speaking, there are a lot of Christians in this country. A couple of million, if you go by the surveys that you can find online. Talked to a missionary last week. He said, the country I'm in is less than 1% Christian. And he said, you can tell that things are changing, that God is working in that country. According to what you can dig up from universities doing surveys and censuses and whatnot, about 15 to 20% of this country claims to be Christians. And yet, you see things getting worse. You see things going in the opposite direction. You see things being accepted that are not accepted. If every believer prayed, wouldn't there be something happening? Wouldn't there be something different? If the concern of the Bible and the concern of the work of God was on every believer's heart, something would change. Something would be different. I don't believe that we would see the falling away that we're seeing today as far as Christian lives go, as far as churches closing, as far as people being turned away by the things of this world and away from the church. And a lot of that comes down to exactly what the book of Acts kind of harps on over and over again, and that is to be of one body and several times, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Keep your Bibles open if you would. To be of one body, of one heart, of one soul, and of one accord. Paul talks about like-mindedness often, to be of the same mind. Whenever they begin to redesign the Raider emblem down here at the school, They've done it twice since I was in school. And every time they do it, people fuss and fight and argue about what they want the Pine Raider to look like. Whenever they commenced to change in Trent's team, the Redskins, whenever they changed their name, they didn't know what they wanted them to be. Everybody fussed and fought and argued. How come? They could have all been Redskins fans. We were all Pines fans. But we all had a different opinion. Everybody has a different opinion. Does anybody know how to make the perfect potato salad? Anybody? Because I do. I make the perfect potato salad. It's got chunks of onion in it. Best potato salad I've ever eaten. Miss Wilma D. Miley used to make it for church all the time. And it's got chunks of onion in it. And I love that potato salad. I cannot have that potato salad hot. It has to be refrigerator cold. And you go in there with a spoon, and it is the most awesome potato salad I have ever tasted. There are very few people that I have ever met that likes onion in their potato salad. Therefore, even though to me that is the ideal potato salad, everybody else sees it as, well, y'all said it, oh no, can't do it, not gonna happen. Whenever it comes to potato salad, we cannot all get on the same page. When it comes to the things of God, we should be able to all get on the same page. In order to be there, we have to be like these people here. It said whenever they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That they were of one heart and of one soul. Whenever we're saved, what comes and dwells within us? Trivia time. Holy Ghost. So if the same Spirit dwells within each and every saved child of God, then why is it so hard for each and every saved child of God to get on the same page whenever it comes to the work of the church? And I'm not saying picking out a wall color, because that can hurt people really bad. I'm talking about being able to do the work of the church. To be able to clean, to be able to cut grass, to be able to go and witness to people, to be able to have a get-together, to be able to do this, that, and the other, and to be able to get along with one another. Anybody had brothers and sisters that did not fight? I had two brothers. We fought and fussed and argued and always had to be separated. As an individual family, as a personal family, we got along really well. And to this day, we still get along really well. But there are arguments that come up. But if we allow ourselves not to ever talk about it, not to ever get to the heart of the issue, not to ever forgive each other and overcome it, then that's going to drive a wedge between us that will last forever. As church people, as church members, as part of one body of Christ, if we allow individual likes and dislikes and I want and I wish and I, if we allow that to come between us as Christians, then that would drive a wedge between us and that would drive a wedge between us and God. Because that means that we are no longer of one heart, of one mind, of one soul, no longer of one accord with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is a very, very dangerous place to be. We talk about Spirit-filled church all the time. And I believe that whenever we meet here, I believe the Holy Spirit meets with us. There is a presence felt in this church. And you may disagree with me. That's between you and God. But I think that it's a wonderful place to be every time that we meet. But there are places that you can go that it... they turn the fans on so you can think that you're feeling the Holy Spirit, because that's about the extent of it. And it's a shame, but it is. That you can tell that there is discord among that church. You ever met two people or come across a husband and wife and you can tell they're arguing about something? You don't know what they're arguing about, but there is something wrong with that man and that woman. People can tell when my wife and I are arguing. We're short with each other. We don't hug on each other as much. I hold her hand and she jerks it aside. People can tell whenever we're arguing. People can tell whenever a church is arguing too. People can tell whenever folks are not on the same side. It's obvious. It's there. And the first step to get to one accord, to get to of one body, of one heart, of one soul, is to be Spirit-filled. The second is over in Acts in chapter number 2. Go over, if you would, Acts in chapter number 2. This is immediately following Jesus' ascension. Verse number 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Talking about the apostles, disciples of Christ. They were all in one accord and in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues such as fire. and it sat upon each and every one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A lot of amazing things happened here. A religion was born out of this scripture. A false religion, but still a religion. But it says that they were of one accord. Whenever the disciples were given this gift, and you see pictures and books and whatnot of tongues of fire over the top of everybody's head, and I'm not sure if it was literal, but I believe that it was an amazing service to be in. And it all began with them being in one place and in one accord. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Romans. We're going to stay there just a second. Solomon chapter 133, verse number 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, as Christians, to dwell together in unity," to be of one accord, to be of one heart, of one soul, to be all getting along. And I'm not saying that is not happening at this church, but that is what this last sentence here in the church covenant says, as one body in Christ. If my left arm and my right arm is arguing with each other, then it's not going to work out. I'm not going to be able to function. But what controls our body? Our brain controls our body. It controls the movements. It controls what happens in our body. It controls me moving my fingers. If my brain does not tell my fingers to move, my fingers do not move. And so it's the same way as the brain controls our body. It's in our head. It said the Bible says that Christ is head of the church. Christ is the head of the body, and everything moves in unison because it has one thing controlling. It has one thing in charge. It has one thing that it is founded upon, that everything branches out from there. If you ever see a poster of the neurological man, and everything stems from the brain down through the spinal cord, and then everything goes out from there. But it all comes from one place. It all originates in one place, and that is the brain. And as far as the Christian church is concerned, Christ is the brain. The Word of God, the living Word of God, is the brain. It is what governs us. It is what controls us. It is what tells us, teaches us what to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans 12 and 16. B. That is a command. If you tell your youngest to be quiet, you're telling him to hush, to do, to actually perform something. If you tell them to be loud, you're asking them to verbiage be loud. Here Paul is giving them a command. He said, be 100%. This is what I want you to do, of the same mind, one towards another. Be of the same mind, one towards another. If you're fussing and fighting and arguing, nothing can get done. And there it is. I know some of you've probably heard of them. I hadn't been in too awful many myself, but in business meetings, in churches, things can get heated. Things can get argumentative. Things can get out of control. And even in services, things can get completely and totally thrown off track and outside of the will of God for a church service. And that happens because people are not of the same mind one toward another. And all that is governed by love, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But Paul here said, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men the low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If possible, here we go. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. I think Paul knew exactly what God was saying whenever he told him to put that little section in there. If possible, here we go. As much as lieth within you. You think Paul was ever pushed to the point that he used all that lied within him and he got to a breaking point? We all get to a breaking point. I get to a breaking point. I told my kids at school, I said, if ever you see me walk in and drop a grenade, walk out. You just know that was my breaking point. That was a straw that broke the camel's back, and I just had to leave. I just had to go. We all have a breaking point. And Paul didn't say that 100% of your life you're going to be able to get along with everybody, because that is completely and totally unheard of. We are to live peaceably with all men. That's not saying that we're supposed to compromise our beliefs for what they want us to believe. That's not saying that we ought to accept homosexuals because they tell us to. That's not saying that we should accept the rainbow that America wants to accept today. That's not saying that we should accept evil for good and good for evil just because the world does, because they do. He's not saying that we should believe and just adapt and adopt everything that they have. The Bible says that we are to live peaceably with all men. That begins inside this church. That begins in each and every individual person, and then moves on to the body of Christ. To be of one accord, to live peaceably, to recompense no man evil for evil. To, if all be possible, live peaceably with all men. Turn over to Romans in 15. Paul there said to be of the same mind. In Romans 15, verse number 5, he says to be like-minded. He said, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. In all things relating to Jesus Christ, in all things relating to the work of God, be like-minded. What does it mean to be like-minded? If you're like-minded, what are you? If we're all like-minded, what does that mean? Does that mean we all like the same kind of potato salad?
Christ is the common denominator.
There is a common denominator between all like-minded people. And in church, that ought to be Christ. If it's not, we're in trouble. There are a lot of churches today. You know what their common denominator is? And I'm glad it's not in here. I'm tickled to death that it's in the hallway over there. But a lot of churches today focus so hard on that board that shows how many people was in church this morning that they lose sight of Christ. There are a lot of churches today that focus so hard on these little gold plates up here and what goes in them that they lose sight of Christ. There's a lot of churches today that focus so hard on how appealing their church is from the highway that they lose sight of doing God's work. To be like-minded means that you have something in common, a common goal, a common denominator. And that for us is the work of God. If we can't agree on that, then we're in trouble. If we can't agree that we have God's work to be about, and we talked about that Sunday. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's work. Well, the church ought to say, I must be about my Father's work. That should be our goal. That should be what we focus on. And if we do, then we become like-minded because we are of one mind in Christ. Verse number 5. Now, the God of patience. He knew that it was going to take that. He knew that it was going to take time. He knew that it was going to take a little bit of patience. Whenever I got married, I didn't get along with my wife 100% of the time. I know it's hard to believe, but we didn't get along all the time. Now that we've been married 4 years, we still don't get along all the time. Brother Tim and Miss Kathy's been married a whole lot longer than we have, and I'm sure they don't get along all the time. Brother Ed talks about in Sunday school often, him and his wife don't get along all the time. Now, 99.9% of the time, great, wonderful, awesome. But God put this in here because He is the God of patience and consolation, because that 0.01% of the time, we won't be able to get along. At that time, it takes patience. It takes God. It takes His grace. It takes His mercy. It takes His consolation. And through that, He can grant us. He can allow us. He can help us, being filled with the Spirit, to be like-minded one toward another. Verse number 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That goes a long way. That you may be with one mind and one mouth, with one purpose, with one goal, with one common denominator, with one focus. And that is the glory of God, our Father. Flip over, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 1. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Paul did a lot of writing about this. And you can imagine some of the early churches that people butting heads. And, well, you see all the different churches we have around here. Why do you think there's so many of them? People butting heads. They can't be of one accord. They can't be of one mind. So they part ways. Same reason the divorce rate is over 50% in this world today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, I'm asking you, please, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now we could talk about this verse for years. There's a lot in it. He said, speak the same thing. If you go to 13 churches today, you're going to hear 14 different opinions from 15 different preachers. It's going to happen. You know how much my opinion is worth? It's not. You know how much your opinion is worth? It's not. Our opinion is worth absolutely nothing in the church of God, because this is the ultimate authority. So whenever we begin to teach, as Sunday school teachers, as Bible school teachers, as discovery teachers, we teach the same thing. Whenever we begin to go out in the community and serve, try to reach people, we should be teaching the same thing. We should be going with the same thing. He said that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. There are a lot of things that can drive a wedge between church members. And then you take half the church and they'll go down the road and they'll build them a small church. You take the other half, they'll stay here. And there's another faction will go over here and build them a church. And they'll start having church. And before long, you end up like Washington Parish, where there's a church every few miles down the road. I've been on the road an awful lot this weekend, the majority of the time inside Washington Parish. And it is absolutely crazy how many churches are around here. It is absolutely crazy. And I asked somebody, well, where'd this church come from? Well, we used to be part of this other one down here. We split off. Church I'm a member of now, split off. If I'm not mistaken, Harmony split off from another church. We have two churches in Pine right across the road from each other. A couple in Thomas right down the road from each other. So many in Bogalusa, can't even count. Hilltop, Central, right here, Midway, Mustard Ground, all over the place. Just everywhere. Why? You go to a big city and they'll be right across the road from each other. Because over time, people began to insert their own opinions. You find these other religions, you trace them all back to people who had an opinion. People who wanted something. The Pentecost, the Catholic, the agnostic, the Calvinistic beliefs. Everything goes back to people. The only thing that don't is the Word of God. And the church that we are baptized in that began where? Anybody paying attention to your Bible? Where did the church begin? Okay, that's homework. Sunday, I want everybody to tell me. The church of Christ, the one that we believe in, the one that we're a part of, the body that we're baptized in, tell me where it began, where it started at. If you don't have one, there's a Trail of Blood book. If you let me know, I'll get you one. It kind of outlines where it all began, how it all started, according to both history and the Bible. But if the Bible is not our foundation, then we're in trouble. There's no way that we can all have the same opinion. There's no way that we can all be persuaded to follow one person, to one ideal, outside of the Word of God. Flip over to Ephesians in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 16, Paul uses the term again. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It all begins with love. And that's a four-letter word, and it's terrible and awful and hard to understand. But it all begins there. Jump back to verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. Here we go. Even Christ. The rest of us is the body. Governed, controlled, used. My head uses my hands. Christ use us. My head governs my hands. Christ governs us. Should, anyway. Being fitly joined together. When things start going out, when things start going wrong, things start splitting up, we want to fix them. We have replacements. We go see doctors. We have surgeries. We do therapy. We try to get things right again. In the same way, whenever churches start having divisions among them, and Paul talked a lot about it, only God can correct that. In order to be back of one mind, we have to get back right with God. If there are contentions and divisions among the church, that means there's a division between church members and God. Because as a church, as a body of Christ, we cannot have divisions among ourselves and still be in a healthy relationship with God. That is 100% impossible. Paul said, being fitly joined together, tight, right, in our right place, abiding where we should. Turn over to Colossians in chapter 3 and we'll close with this. Colossians chapter number 3, it all begins here. Above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is the duct tape that holds the redneck world together. Charity is the super glue that holds us together. Charity is the bond. It is what sticks people together. What is charity? It is love. Kind of love. Charity is love that does not come with strings attached. Charity is love that does not end. Charity is more than just saying that you love somebody. Charity is proving it. Love in action. Charity is a love that a lot of times men struggle with. A lot of times people struggle with. Charity is a love that... Well, we read the love book and it's oftentimes read at weddings. Charity has a lot of different properties, a lot of different things that it can do. Charity goes a long way and it goes deep. But here in Colossians it says that it is the bond of perfectness. It is what holds the body of Christ together. It is love between its members.
What was that again?
Colossians 3 and 4. Excuse me, 14.
Which one is it?
Oh, I told my mom today I'm very dyslexic. I get my numbers and my letters and everything mixed up. I was trying to write something today and I got 4 or 5 of the letters all crossed up. Anyway, above all things, before everything else, before we try to strive to recruit more people to church, go out into this world and spread the gospel, before we try to reach out to these lost kids in our church, before we try to disciple newly saved members, before we do any of that, above all things, put on charity. Focus on charity. Love can go a long way. Charity can go a long way. And that word usually in modern society carries a negative connotation because people says, I don't want your charity. When it comes from God's people, we do want charity. We do want love amongst our members. We do want love between each other. And I hope that everybody here knows that I love you. I hope I've shown it. If I hadn't, then I failed. And please let me know because I'm misleading myself. I hadn't been as charitable. I hadn't been as loving as I should be, as God wants me to be. But by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm trying. And that should be the desire of each and every person, to be a little bit more loving, to be a little bit more charitable, and to be a fitly joined together of one accord body of Christ. As the Bible teaches us to be, as being members of the church, we enter into solemnly and joyfully this covenant with one another as one body in Christ. But we have verse